So this morning, you got Luke Anderson with me, Will Ortner, and Jordan Schultz. Big round of applause if you've got the button there, Mr. Schultz, because you guys are in for a fun one today. We'll recap everything from the weekend. I know that Jordan is very excited about not just the hot dog eating contest and the return of Joey Chestnut, but the production value. So we'll get a full assessment of that. Mariners have four all-stars. That is like the big crowd noise. I love it. He doesn't go intimate studio. He goes like big stadium ovation.
It's labeled applause.
I know.
Well, I was waiting for the girls. Rob's always got the girls' applause. Ooh, boop, boop, boop. And I don't know where he finds it.
Have you seen the size of Rob's drop page? If you aren't Isaac Everett, Rob, you don't know where.
That is, have you seen the size of his drop page?
There is very no impressive way, unless you are sitting in front of that computer for the last 15 years every day, knowing where that step is. Like, that's just impossible.
The symphony of watching producers go through the page of drops.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to remember if you can even still do it. I don't have access to the drop pages. I'll probably have to get that at some point, but I don't. It used to be just a default. There was its own computer screen.
Right.
And in the old building, that's how it was set up. And mm-hmm. Mike Lynch, when he used to do the open for the club hour, mm-hmm. watching his cursor just move so deftly through the pages to find not just a fart, but the proper fart sound to enhance the open, and then go back to, you know, Souk vomiting, or there's a little girl in the toilet, or whatever it was, mm-hmm. and just watching the way he moved through there. It was more fun than people will ever realize. It was always a good time.
I'll tell you right now, I cannot figure out where 90% of the drops are, but I have found where the dong drops are.
Okay.
So if I'm in the building and I'm firing off drops, you're going to hear a lot of dong.
So if Will's in, there'll get be a ready lot of for dong. Dong.
Yep.
That's what she said.
Oh yeah. See, I don't know where that is, but there's going to be a lot of dong, and then there's going to be a lot of buck, and that makes me sad.
Well, I feel partly responsible for that, and I'm proud of it.
So it's an all-time commercial.
It was great. It was great. Well, we were talking about that a little bit before the show. The production value of the commercials, I think, always needs to get a deft ear, mm-hmm. and I'm happy that I get to be a part of that in some small way on the station. Did you realize that right now you brought something up before the show that required my brain to do a little bit of thinking and then putting that into the computer? We are 47 days, 2 hours, 56 minutes, and 8 seconds until the kickoff of the first college football game.
I'm very impressed that you have a countdown calendar. And you're not lying, because I can see your screen.
I have it on the screen.
You have a calendar countdown.
Well, all I had to do is put in the date of the first game. So the first college football game that is scheduled will be Iowa State at Kansas State in Dublin, Ireland. It's a 9 a.m. kick on ESPN. You brought up that Idaho State and UNLV got moved to week zero, but we are only 47 days away from week zero for college football.
Ooh. Can't freaking wait. Yesterday, I was doing the gambling show with Sprague, and we were...
Is it called the gambling show?
It is called Back to the Futures, which, the irony, I've never seen the movie. No, this is one of my prouder... like. At this point, I get great joy out of someone being like, oh, I love this movie. It's a great movie from growing up. It's an all-time classic. Gotta have watched it. And then I get to go, never saw it.
Well, okay.
Nerd!
My wife had never seen Star Wars growing up. Like,
that's a miss. Well, you gotta see it.
Okay, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth right now, young man. Okay, so all know that you're being stupid.
Yes.
I just want to point out, in case anybody's listening, yes, he did. You're stupid.
Well, I haven't seen Back to the Future. Oh, that's a miss. I haven't seen Star Wars, you jackass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very good.
Yes.
So convinced her to kind of dive into the universe. Also, Star Wars still being made. It's not like there's another Back to the Future right around the corner. Mm-hmm. But when the Star Wars universe started blowing up, she watched the original, enjoyed it very much. And now, like, you know, she's very excited to go all of the Star Wars worlds and Disney and the whole thing. So she's kind of, I won't say all in, but it's one of those things where she's like, yeah, I don't know why I didn't watch it. But then when people said, just like I said to you, here's why I want you to watch Back to the Future.
Okay.
Not because you have to and it's the greatest movie series of all time or anything like that. I would love to get your perspective on somebody that never watched the movie. Now you're an adult person and you're watching it post future date.
Oh, that's right.
Have watching. Yeah, because it was
true.
Like it was
2015. 2020?
Yeah, 2015. So I don't know.
2015. It was 1985 plus
October 2015. Yeah. Whatever it was. Okay. So going and watching it where both the future and the past are well in the past, I want to know what that experience is like. I can't do it myself because I've already been there. But you can kind of take a time machine back to the past's vision of the future in the past. See what I'm saying?
Yes, like, there's
there's a whole mind warp of the whole thing that I'm very excited to see. So I will encourage you to watch it just because I'd like to see what that perspective is like. Because that is kind of a trip when we got to the day where it was like, oh, here's the date. How close are we to what was going on in the predicted future of 1985? And it's hilarious.
Well, see, Cubs won. So it was the one thing. It's crazy.
The Cubs did win.
But the hoverboard is one of the sadder inventions. Like, whoever got the rights to call something with wheels a hoverboard is still one of the most blasphemous things that exists in our world today.
Well, you're hovering over the wheels, bro.
Yeah. Again. I don't need to hear that. That's not a thing. The hoverboard was one of the coolest things in any movie when you were a kid.
So there was
absolutely awesome.
So there
and there's plenty of sports gambling in it.
Right. Well, that is true because he takes the almanac, right? And that's seen it. It's fine.
Sit down and watch.
The Old West shows up at some point
in the third one. Yes,
he's in the future, but he's in the past.
Well, this is one of the greatest rewatches of all time. I am shocked that you've made it to 27 and haven't. Actually watched the whole thing.
So this one,
I don't know though. I assume because I assume that you hang out with a lot of people your age,
and
I'd be curious. Yeah.
We don't watch this movie. Isn't on the list. Like,
okay, let me ask.
I know that I was talking out of both sides of my mouth.
Yeah,
but it's very rare that you see someone that hasn't seen like Star Wars. Star Wars just it feels
Star Wars because of the ever expanding universe of Star Wars,
right?
Getting bigger and becoming grander all the time. It's somebody's seen at least something from Star Wars, but I think this is a pretty big cultural miss. There's so many references to Star Wars. The fact that you already know. The general basics. I think that there's enough from it, and I think that you are probably undervaluing how great Michael J. Fox was.
Yeah, and, he doesn't get enough credit list because I didn't watch a lot of his movies, and I think some of it too.
Well, you didn't get Family Ties. You didn't get any of
Teen Wolf,
Spin City.
Well,
I got
to watch
crappy Teen Wolf.
Oh no,
you didn't. Teen Wolf.
No.
So the other thing is the original original Back to the Future and Teen Wolf came out the same year.
Did they really?
Yes. That
that's
is,
a good year.
That is a night you need to do. That's a good back to back. Like if you're going to do, instead of doing like sit down and watch all three Back to the Future, sit down and watch Teen Wolf and Back to the Future in the same day.
And then go back to back.
Yeah. Because I think if you're going to do the other one that is really fun is go watch if you're going to do a Christian Bale. Like a trilogy.
Okay, do like an American Psycho with a whatever. And
Newsies, American Psycho, and Batman would some combination of that. But you have to watch Newsies in there. That's one everybody forgets.
When he was 12?
Yes, and it's a Disney movie. Where
What?
It's just funny to see him as a Disney
Christian,
kid in like a upbeat, like singing and dancing Newsies.
Jolly Pips, huh?
Yeah.
Was he doing the crazy like weight cutting or gaining back then?
He totally did.
12?
Oh, yeah. He did.
He's like, I gotta get fat for this role as a 12-year-old.
Yep. Oh, and the amount of heroin that he does for a Disney movie is pretty extreme.
Think about Michael J. Fox, too. He famously, during the shooting of Back to the Future, he was doing Family Ties as well. He basically slept 2 hours a night. He would do overnight shooting schedules of Back to the Future and then go shoot Family Ties during the day and then obviously fit Teen Wolf in there at some point as well. Like, he was exhausted during that
time. And he was not the original. Like, they had the full production going. Eric Stoltz was the original Marty McFly. And they're sitting there going, this isn't working. And then people started mentioning
Michael J. Fox.
You can't, it's one of those roles you can't picture anybody else doing. The whole thing works. So, anyway.
Stoltz was too serious.
I hope we've convinced you, but I, again, selfishly, I would love to get your perspective on how hilarious it is, not only to see the 80s that you never got to experience, but then to see their idea of what the future is and the window shades that pull down to give you any
tying shoes,
any view, the fax machine that of the future, just all the things.
The dehydrated pizza.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
Well, and see, so I wonder too, and this goes to like a larger point of, I wonder, this movie would have missed my parents, right? So I'm sure they saw it, but they would have
How old are your parents?
My parents are in their mid-50s, okay?
No, this would have been wheelhouse for them. I would have think this would have been date night movie for them. But
85?
They
so that puts them middle school-ish?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude, 100%.
Yeah, that puts them around 15. So, no, actually, this puts them in high school.
Yeah.
So high school, but I wonder if, so catch me on this. My mom loved the 16 Candles. Yeah,
this is right in that, right?
The Breakfast Club.
John Hughes.
Thank you. John Hughes.
Ferris Bueller.
Big, fan of John Hughes. When I was a kid and I was homesick, made me watch them. I have now grown to appreciate them, and I enjoy those films as well.
Sure.
I wonder if because my parents either didn't see Back to the Future, or maybe they saw it later, or whatever it was, maybe by the time they saw it, it didn't have the same cultural impact that the Hughes movies did on them. I wonder if that is why it's not a big deal in my life. Like, I think about this with Goonies or Mighty Ducks, right? There's a lot of people, Sandlot, I'd throw in as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are like, I watched that as a kid. That movie rocks. I'll watch it still now, but I understand. Like, it takes me back to that time when I first watched it. I understand that it's cheesy now. Where, like, my family, I didn't watch those types of movies or those movies in particular. And so, to me, I don't have that nostalgia feel for it. And so, when I watch it, I can't sit there and just be like, well, this kind of sucks. Like, this is cheesy. Whatever. It's not a good story. There's holes in it. It's possible that my parents didn't watch it and then get me to watch it at an early enough age to appreciate it the way it should be.
I think it might be one of those that's so ubiquitous. It's on so much.
Yeah.
Because it's very much a, like for me, I've sat down and watched Back to the Future front to back once or twice. But every time it's on TV, I've watched it enough that you can pick up in the middle and I'll watch the end of it. Like it's one of those movies that's always around where it's like, I don't need to tell you about Back to the Future, but 16 Candles harder to find and finding out some of those.
Easy. Like, well,
but if you're looking for it.
I guess that's true. Like, because I'm thinking about like what shows pop up on like your TNT, your TBS, FX,
Lord of the Rings. Still,
see, Lord of the Rings to me, I feel like I.
But
the
ones that grab your attention are the ones that you're like. Happy Gilmore always grabs my attention.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Dazed and Confused is one that I probably watched 1,000 times because it was always on, but never from the like start to finish.
Right.
Which one of the better experiences was. A friend of my wife's aunt lived in Portland. Wife's aunt comes up to visit. They all end up coming over. And they're like, oh, everybody's just hanging out. Let's watch a movie or whatever. And I had a DVD copy that was like in the bargain bin of Dazed and Confused. This gal graduated from high school the same year that movie was based on.
No way.
Watching it with her was hilarious. Because we got to talking. The movie came up. And she goes, oh, I've never seen it. So watch, again, time and place, right? Mm-hmm. Watching it with somebody that was like, oh my God, it was just like that. And all of the reference in there just hitting really hard. Again, with Back to the Future, I think that's one of those ones where most you were in 2015.
Right.
Which is the future date. How old were you?
2015. That's my senior year of high school.
This is why I want to see it.
Well, wait, October? Yes. Yeah. That is senior year of high school. So I will go back and watch it. I know I probably should have. Well, this is a great text in here as well. So someone goes, Will and I, it's a 30-year-old, grew up watching like Jurassic Park, Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious is they're not good movies. I love every single one of them. And if they are on, so when you're talking about Fast
and— How many are there, 12?
I think they're on 11. Okay, I think the one that's going to come out soon is 11. But anytime Fast and Furious is always on, I will tune in. Pirates of the Caribbean is a better version of this. Pirates of the Caribbean is on so much, I watch it all the time.
You're right, but I got to throw in there that Back to the Future is
I'm sure it's better.
Well, it's not better. It's just a step above as far as like cinematic masterpiece, as far as the combination of music and all the lights, like, or the effects that they did, which were from Skywalker Sound and Industrial Light Music, the same stuff that was on Star Wars. Like, there was a lot of really innovative stuff that just makes the movie even still last to this day.
I don't know. You throw Pirates as a comp. I think that's a pretty good comp.
Pirates is a good comp. Yeah. And I wonder again, like,
a big cultural impact. Johnny Depp became
there were like seven
super,
of them. You're not
star. Yeah, yeah. He's, I think it's a good comp.
He's Captain Jack Sparrow. Like, the last two Pirates, no good at all. The first three, the original trilogy, awesome.
They made five of those?
There are five.
Is Johnny Depp in all of them?
He's in all five.
He has to be.
Well, see, I thought it was a trilogy.
Check. Yeah.
No, I think Margot Robbie's going to be in the next
they're making
one. Maybe it's ScarJo. She's just doing all the remakes. Why hasn't there been a remake of Back to the Futures? Because that could be killing it off, right? Like, we talked about Star Wars. There's been a remake of Star Wars. Indiana Jones still is making comebacks. And so I wonder, with that younger generation, like, Back to the Futures, to me, is probably getting aged out a little bit.
This is the point of why I want you to watch it. There's some comment somebody made 100 years ago that is always stuck in my head, which is, a movie says more about the time it was made than the time that it was made about.
Yes.
So if you watch it, you're going to get all of the 80s movie making. That's what makes it so fun, is it is such a time capsule. Even though he's going forward and backwards in the future, and you get the 50s, and you get the 2000s, and you get the Old West, but all from the perspective of the 1980s, that's why it's great. That's why I want you to watch it, because, again, it's a time period that you missed. But if you never watch it, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
I promise that I will think about watching it. I will probably attempt to watch it at some point. But again, I do think if they remake it, people will go, oh, I'd like to see the original. And then that might be how I end up. Kind of like your wife with Star Wars.
Just get drunk one night and spend it with your roommates watching all three. That's all you got to do. It's like a six-hour marathon, but just get a couple of 12-packs and you're good to go.
Wow. Just find an older lady that loves it and just hang out with her.
Oh, cougar.
Let's go. Yeah. Go find a cougar that's wearing a Marty McFly t-shirt.
Well, but then you won't see any of the movie. You're just going to be the entire time.
Oh, no. She's going to want to watch a movie.
Hello, ma'am. I'd like to ask you your opinion on Back to the Future. Oh, you're a fan.
Oh. I'd like to watch a movie with you.
Like,
they go back and
he's like,
stop it. I'm trying to watch a movie.
Leave me alone.
I've never seen this.
Get your hands off me.
He gets all involved in it. All right. You guys want to talk about sports?
Might as well.
All right. Well, the NBA breaks a record with the most useless trade of all time. And exactly what happened for one team is important. The other six, not at all. So why we care about the other teams involved, who knows? We'll try to dissect that. We've got the All-Star teams being announced. Jordan Schultz, very excited. Four Mariners on your All-Star lineup. I don't know when the last time that happened was. Probably
2001. No, I'm just kidding. It's happened over the years.
2018.
It's been a little while. That's a long time. Mm-hmm. And then we've got a countdown clock going for the NFL and college football as well. But let's start off with the All-Star and the weekend that was in the MLB. It is a Luke, Will, and Jordan episode of Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. Jordan's mad at the imaginary Back to the Future movie that's not actually being made.
There's a couple people mad.
Pretty angry about it.
Well, I would be so upset if there was a plot line, like I said off the air, of Marty McFly Jr. discovers the DeLorean again. And then, of course, you've got Marty McFly, who's old, and unfortunately his health would prevent him from doing more than a minute or two appearance in the movie. It's just not going to be that.
No, I'm sad.
Yeah, I know.
Well, exactly. Well, you're asking, Will, why wouldn't there be a Back to the Future remake? There's like six reasons why, and one of those is pretty serious.
Can I tell you, if they make a bad movie, you don't have to watch it.
Right. Well, but my thought is,
okay,
again, not asking for a remake, I wouldn't watch it. But
you might.
They're re-
you might. Depends on how hot the lead actress is.
That's true. Margot Robbie's in it. It might be a different story. But everything else Jordan gets a remake. Like, they just rebooted Jurassic World again. They rebooted it like 8 years ago, and it's getting rebooted again. I'm surprised.
Who's the next Spider-Man? Who cares?
Right.
Well, stop. No more.
I think it's still the same guy.
I know, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
The fact that they put all the Spider-Man pointing at each other, and there's literally two reboots of Spider-Man going on at the same time, where you have Tom Holland in the real world, and then you've got, I don't know who the actor is that plays the cartoon version of it.
Oh,
but those
are
major theatrical releases in the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, it's DC, right, for that one? So
I couldn't tell you.
They're trying to re-up DC comics.
Well, here's the other thing is get yourself a couple kids and you'll be surprised the movies that you end up watching, too. Because trying to entertain an 8-year-old and go, yeah, I'll watch that. Into the Spider-Verse? Not that bad. I liked it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a Spider-Man cartoon with a Post Malone soundtrack. I'm like, all right, I can get behind this.
Let's go.
Kind of fun.
Well, just have a fun movie.
Just don't listen.
Don't butcher it.
Well, but these after these proclamations, I would never watch it. Then it ends up like winning the entire like Oscar sweep and ends up being like this great
thing. You're telling me a Back to wonderful... the Future remake would win an Oscar sweep?
Yes, it would in the technical production ceremony that goes on the day before.
Luke, that's the funniest damn thing you've ever said.
You're welcome, brother. But you know what I mean? Like, but making this proclamation now and then they end up making it with your favorite actor or whatever. Right. Cal Raleigh gets a bit part in it and all of a sudden you're like, I'm interested. So just
hey, big dumper. He hit 70 dingers that year. Remember?
You know what future Luke's gonna do? I have no idea. That's what I'll say. I have no idea. You don't know the circumstances you're under. Again, a nice lady who wants to hang out with Mr. Orton and wants to go to the new Back to the Future movie that's coming out.
I'll probably go and watch it.
Little Jordan Schultz Jr. cannot wait for the remake of Back to the Future. You're going to scream at the kid that he's not allowed to do it. You don't know what you're going to do in the future, so just shut up, both of you.
I know one thing I'll do in the future.
What's that?
Eat. And then I'll watch sports.
Dude, somebody just invented a way of getting all of the calories you need without eating, and it's going to make you shredded, and you're going to get more joy. You don't know what people are working on. Just shut up.
I won't eat at all. It'll turn into Wally.
Let's talk about the past. Exactly. Sit around with one of those protein shakes and a little hover scooter that
it'd be great.
Your big fat ass around.
Sounds more like Idiocracy than anything.
Well, listen, that's where we're headed anyways. So speaking of a movie worth rewatching, Idiocracy needs to get another spin from me.
Yeah.
All right, so gentlemen, the Major League Baseball All-Star break is about a week away. The Mariners have four All-Stars. There are 19 new All-Stars. Mariners get a sweep over the weekend of the Pirates, where the Pirates score exactly zero runs. It was a pretty nice weekend for your Seattle baseball franchise. What's the biggest storyline here for the Mariners that grabs your attention?
It's always going to be Cal Raleigh. Like, always. The fact that a catcher has 35 home runs, he now holds the record, well, tied with Griffey for the ball club,
and
most
home runs.
Six
more games before the All-Star break. But
he's got
can
a
I
shot
just say, though, the record,
it.
These all these pre All-Star break records can like get bent.
Except the Bonds one.
No, not. He has an entire season to play. If he didn't, you know, do anything after the All-Star break and the whole team falls apart, he ends up with 40 home runs, you'd be like, that was the worst season I've ever seen. Yes, baseball requires you to get excited at different points during the season because it's a very long season. There's so many games. I get that, and we can be excited. But pulling out this is the most times anybody's done anything since the All-Star break. My question is, can he keep it going?
Yeah.
That's the one that has me most excited. Like, he's already ahead of his career.
No, his career high is what, 38?
34.
I believe.
It was 34, yeah. So
he already matched 38.
It already passed. Okay. It's at 35 home runs. So he's already bested his total season output. So my question is, can he keep it going? More than like, congratulations. Take that, Griffey. Like, it's awesome. But what's 56? Is that Griffey's season total?
Yeah, 56 or 50.
So, let's hit that.
So then what if he doesn't hit that, but he hits the catcher mark? Are you impressed?
Yes.
Because the catcher mark is what, 48, I believe?
48 by Salvy Perez.
Right. Yep. So let's say he gets to 49. Let's say he gets to 50. Are you then more impressed? Like, what if he let's say he goes on a hot streak, right? Over six games, he hits four more home runs. He ties Bonds' record, which I would make the argument would still be impressive because, remember, Bonds is probably juiced up, and it's
what
2001 Barry Bonds. It's the greatest home run season ever, and no one's probably ever going to touch that mark, but you've now touched the halfway point mark.
Yeah.
Is that more impressive if he finishes the – is that more impressive than if he finishes the year at, like, 50?
I think if he finishes the year at 50, it's impressive. But it also, for a lot of this, it really depends on what the Mariners do around him. I mean, the fact that you have Brian Wu.
He's awesome.
Getting an all-star appearance. You've had Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, Bryce Miller, all on the IL for extended periods of time. Mm-hmm. And you have who you thought was your fourth or fifth guy in the rotation, not only having a good year, but having an all-star first half. And now you're just about as healthy. I don't know where Bryce Miller is on the possible return. I would expect that if he's good to go, they'll probably wait till after the all-star break anyways.
Makes sense.
But if you can go and at the back half of the season have him play that platinum glove catcher role that he's played and get the staff where they were or halfway to where they were last year and hit 55 home runs, I would rather have that and the Mariners play in the postseason than him have hit 63 and break the American League record and have the Mariners plummet.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's where it always gets difficult. Where, like, yeah, he's having an awesome start to the season. But when he was at, 11, 12 home runs and had 13 RBI, you were like, oh, this is nice.
Well,
but
he was still hitting, like, 220, 230 at that
And he was. Absolutely, he was. But he was doing it. They were all solo shots, and nobody else was on. The reason Julio Rodriguez is an all-star, and I think a lot of people look at his home run numbers and go, oh, he's not where he was in the past.
Right.
His runs scored numbers are right near the top. I know he was floating around the top five. I don't know where he's at exactly right now, but he's getting on base, and he's scoring a lot of runs. He's playing an excellent center field. The Mariners are tied for second for the best fielding percentage in baseball. Other than that, they're pretty average on everything. They hit a few more home runs, give up a few more home runs than anybody else, but they're pretty, like, consistently, like, even. They're sitting somewhere between 13th and 19th in all the rankings across the board.
Well,
they're not really great at anything. They're not really terrible at anything, but their fielding is excellent. I mean, this is a really good defensive team. So, Can they catch up to the Astros? I sure hope so. But seven games is a big lead for a team that's playing pretty well.
If as a Mariner fan, I don't have an issue with them just getting in. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, would it be nice to win the division?
Oh,
yes,
no. Getting in is a must.
Just get in.
Yep.
Right. Because if you get in with this pitching staff, there's so much that you can do. If everyone comes back and they're fully healthy, if Cal Raleigh can keep hitting at the rate that he has been, Randy Arozarena seems to have kind of figured it out.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure, he's been hot lately. Yeah.
And also, I was kind of poo-pooing Julio a little bit before the show started. Julio also has been known to get stronger as the season goes.
For sure.
Like, what was it, last August, last July, where he went on an absolute tear, right?
Yep.
So there's some poo-pooing of the players at different points of, hey, you want a little bit more. You don't want to be right in the meaty part of the bell curve. You want to be closer to the top end. They still have that room to grow, and I think they will, and they have the opportunity to. I don't want to downplay greatness with Cal Raleigh and not appreciate it in case it doesn't fully get there, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Because if he goes off and he has a 50 home run season, it is still a great season. Everyone is going to be like, hey, man, that was a great, incredible, awesome. But if Shohei or Judge or any of those guys pass him, he's not going to get the true recognition nationally that he deserves. And right now, while he's still on that top end, I want to make sure that he gets it and gets the love and appreciation that he deserves. And I'm not saying that he's not getting it, but if Aaron Judge was at 35 home runs right now, we'd be hearing a lot more about it.
Yeah, but I think you're hearing plenty about Judge. But right now, the American League MVP race is between Cal Raleigh and Aaron Judge, which is to me, that is more exciting than him breaking Johnny Bench's catchers before the All-Star break.
Well,
is that fair?
If he's in the MVP conversation, he's going to do that regardless. That stuff all kind of becomes ancillary.
But I'd much rather have him finish second in the MVP race than second in the home run race.
Well,
I guess is my point. Let's do this. Jordan, I very much want to get your opinion after a SportsCenter update. Today, you've got Luke Anderson, Will Ortner, and Jordan Schultz hanging out with you. We are talking Seattle Mariners baseball, and what is the biggest storyline? They've got four All-Stars. They've got Cal Raleigh leading Major League Baseball in home runs, chasing down all the pre-All-Star break records that you know, don't really matter.
I care about them a little bit.
It's interesting
to a point, but it's to me, it's never going to grab the attention of it. I'll take Cal Raleigh's home run to secure a wild card spot a couple years ago. That's the thing about Cal Raleigh is Seattle already knows what this guy does in the big moments. Now he's doing it at all times. Mm-hmm. I will say, very disappointing, though. I mean, no 3 home run games for Cal Raleigh yet.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, come on. He only has 7 2-home run games so far this season.
Bum. One season. That's not enough.
I know.
Bum.
But he has zero three home run games in his career. So that's kind of the amazing thing is usually when you see these numbers, it's like, oh, yeah, but he just went off in, you know, a couple games. Mm-hmm. This has just been absolutely consistent from both sides of the plate while still playing a lot behind the dish. He's doing absolutely everything. So, Jordan, we cut you off at the end of the last segment for time purposes, not because of anything that you were starting to say was uninteresting.
It's a radio tease, right?
That's what you know that it is, Daddy-O. What do you think the biggest storyline is for the Mariners in the first half so far?
I mean, it's got to be Cal. And I got to respond really quickly to your point about it not being a big deal leading up to the All-Star break. I specifically think...
But to me, the records aren't a big deal. Like, watching it in real time. Leading the majors is the part to me. Being... In the conversation for the MVP race is bigger than who did he pass for the most pre-All-Star home runs.
If it were Roy Campanella, whatever. If it were, you know, Manny Ramirez, one of the many years that he was near the top of the home run list come mid-season, like whatever, it doesn't mean as much. But we're talking Barry freaking Bonds during...
Well, he hasn't passed Barry Bonds. No, he's passed Johnny Bench.
But you're asking me or telling me that it's not important as far as the record goes, and I'm trying to tell you, because of he being so close to Barry Bonds, the all-time home run leader in a season, and did it, yes, not allegedly, but he did it. He just said he didn't know he was on steroids or the clear what it was when he was putting it on. Like, God, we don't believe you, Barry, but the point is if somebody... Mm-hmm. who has been clean to this point in his career. I don't have any reason, and I'm kind of pissed already seeing some of the things online leaking out already about Cal. Oh, he's probably on steroids. Like, no, he's just been really freaking good, you idiots.
Well, you take a guy that hits, you know, what, 34 home runs and, like, 220 average, and you give him another 50 points to his batting average.
You give him a torpedo bat, too.
Yeah,
on the left. And he's, look at his lefty numbers. Look at how many home runs.
Like two-thirds of his home runs are from the left. But he did hit 2 the other day from the right side. Well,
steroids don't make you become a 70 better point average hitter on the right side.
Well, and that's the thing where if he does match Barry Bonds, it's still not the same thing. The way that Barry Bonds was pitched in that season and the amount of intentional walks, the guys coming up and getting intentionally walked with the bases loaded.
Yeah, but don't you think the level of pitching now compared to 25 years ago, I would say that kind of helps close that gap just a little bit.
The thing is, it is an impressive standalone event. And going back, the fun part of him passing those things, you say if it was Campanella or, you know, Manny Ramirez or Babe Ruth or whatever it is, the reason these benchmarks are fun is less about Cal Raleigh and more about nostalgia for me. When he passed Griffey, I go back to Griffey's season where you go, oh, yeah, in 98 when he's just absolutely ripping the cover off the ball, how excited everybody was for Mariners baseball. I think a lot of times it's more about who he's passing than what he's doing. Again, this season for the Mariners, if it ends up being a MVP, you know, top 3 finish and a top 3 home runs, and they're outside of the postseason, it's going to be a huge disappointment. It's a really, really fun story. But I think that the most exciting thing about this Mariners team is the fact that they have so many opportunities to get better. I mean, George Kirby in his first couple starts, so what did he miss the first month and a half of the season?
Yep.
Comes out with no spring training and is playing meh. And then what did he do yesterday against head-to-head against Paul Skeens?
He didn't allow a run.
Yeah.
That was Luis Castillo. You're talking about Saturday.
Or Saturday.
It's okay. No, all great pitching performances by our Mariners.
But going out and just absolutely spinning it and looking like the George Kirby that you expected all year, and knowing that the pitching can get better. You know that Randy Arozarena right now is getting hot, and right. he's a guy that has been an all-star. He's also a dude that when he was traded, what did he do in Tampa's run to the World Series a few years ago?
He was basically the MVP for that, yeah, right?
For the postseason. Yeah, so he was awesome. So again, the most exciting performer. Thing about Cal Raleigh is when you put him in a big spot, usually delivers. Yeah. That's what has me the most excited about this, is this can be a really special season because I think you've got enough guys that are gamers. You mentioned it already, Will. Julio Rodriguez at any point can have one of those months
yep.
that you look at and go, this guy's the best player in baseball.
He's actually still on pace for near an all-time high for hits for him in his career.
For him? Yeah, yeah.
Well, and he's only hitting 250.
And if he can cut down on the strikeouts, but he has not had that month where you look at it and go, not only is he the best player on the team, but again, he has looked like the best player in baseball in stretches during his career.
Yeah.
And if he can get one of those when it matters, I mean, the fun part of it, you've got the Yankees who have been, you know, not as good as they started over the last.
They're falling off. Yeah.
So you've got them starting tomorrow, and then you've got the Tigers, who are a playoff team from last year, going into the All Star break. If you can win both of those series, you don't need to win all the games, but if you can win both of those series, go in with four All Stars, have a fun weekend to kind of celebrate what it is. Cal Raleigh playing in the Home Run Derby is going to be awesome to watch. I don't know if you've switch hitting that, but going back,
he
and
has
forth,
said he's going to.
So I thought
he has said that he is going to switch it in both. Like he'll start left, and then if he gets tired, he'll move to right.
I love that.
Yes,
actually. Please. He's got a leg up on the competition as a switch hitter.
So he's,
you would think
it's going to be a celebration of Cal Raleigh, which is well deserved.
Mm-hmm.
But then you come back, and your first series back is against the Astros. That's where it really matters. That's where the rubber meets the road. I mean, four All Stars, awesome. Yeah, you've got Cal Raleigh swinging for the fences in the Home Run Derby. Who knows what happens there? But you're going to get a celebration of how good the first half was. But the second half of the season starts, it's against the team that right now is seven games ahead of you.
Right.
The team that has eaten your lunch for a decade. And even before they were winning World Series, they started by figuring out how to beat the Mariners, and then they figured out how to beat the rest of the league. So the Astros, ever since they've been in your division, have absolutely kicked your ass. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm looking at it going, all right, this team is playing well. I think they can get better. And I think that's where it gets fun for me.
Yeah, and I don't disagree. I just think sometimes it's hard to dive into baseball early. Basketball has this as well. Just because, hey, NFL, college football still going. I'm not going to dive in until that's done. Baseball deals with the same thing with NHL and NBA. There was a reason to watch, and you were the talk of the town, and it was Cal Raleigh. I don't think that anyone
can,
is
can
ever.
Can I tell you very quick?
Go for it.
This is how irrelevant the Mariners are. We're not a huge baseball fan, but I was down in Southern California this weekend. And I'm talking to somebody about the Mariners, and he goes, so tell me about this Cal Raleigh guy. Knows nothing about him. I give him the insight, and he's like, Ichiro still playing?
I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That dude doesn't know baseball. See, that's bullsh.
This is what this...
That's
bullsh.
I actually love that.
But he brought up Cal Raleigh. That's what I'm talking about.
I hear that.
Where it's he's doing things that are getting people to pay attention to a sport and a team that obviously he's not. So when you can pick up the casual fan, this is why Shohei Ohtani's contract is worth every penny that is spent.
Yeah.
Is that Japanese Americans and Japanese baseball fans are flocking to Los Angeles and willing to pay thousands of dollars to get seats if you can watch. Is it worth Shohei Ohtani pitching? Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Oh, what if his arm... He's proven that he can hit without his right arm working to throw the ball, but he can get in there and throw the ball 100 miles an hour after a long break from pitching. You're going to draw enough fans. You're going to make enough money back. Cal Raleigh has made the Mariners interesting enough, somebody that is a very limited baseball fan that didn't realize that Ichiro wasn't playing, was excited about the Mariners, was asking me about Cal Raleigh.
I get it. To wrap a bow up on your point about Cal, like I do think that he goes with the Mariners this season, and if he falls off, the Mariners will fall off. There's really no separation in my
mind. I don't think
that's
necessarily true. If his home run numbers fall off, it doesn't necessarily mean this team is doomed. There's enough good hitting around it. What the young guys are doing, Williamson has
JP's awesome again.
JP's
playing
good
really
again.
Good. Randy's playing much better. Cole Young, I was reading an article from a national writer saying that if there's a young guy that looks like he can pop, I think there's
hitting the ball so freaking hard, Cole Young is.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing is, I don't think he needs to hit 70 home runs for this team to make it. So, I would much rather have
him hit. But they need a leader.
And he's the leader.
Yeah, exactly.
He's also just signed a 6-year deal that is already the best team-friendly deal in baseball with 3 months into the season.
But if he regresses, like you were talking about, like if he regresses down to, he only hits 40 home runs for the rest of the year, then the Mariners will not make the playoffs. I'm telling you, they are going, some people say they've went with how Julio goes. No, they are going with how Cal goes. And frankly, we saw even the best starting pitching staff in baseball without an offense last season won't get you to the playoffs. They need hitting.
They got you to the cusp. They are hitting better than they did last year across the board. The fact that they are not in the bottom five teams have been batting average and on base, and they're running more, and they're really fun to watch. And Cal Raleigh is obviously a huge part of this. But if you follow the team for years, you know that there's a lot of guys that are not playing up to what they're capable of.
Mm-hmm. And if they reach that, watch out. Chip in a chair. You got one of, if not the best pitching staffs in baseball. If you get into the postseason, you're set up pretty nice.
All right. Well, we've got NBA moves. It's officially out of the hiatus period or whatever it is, where every day.
Moratorium.
Every day there's a deal that's kind of going to be made that is actually made. But there was at least one superstar on the move over the weekend, potentially more buyouts coming out. We'll take a dip into the association next. It is a Luke, Will, and Jordan edition of Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. Luke Anderson filling in for Dirt and Sprague, and then Will Ortner and Jordan Schultz both combining to fill in for Jason Swigard. How that math worked out, I couldn't really tell you, but you guys did have the producer work together this morning, so that's the way I'm putting it. But we got a little excited about the Mariners-Cal Raleigh, so we're a little bit off the clock. So we'll save the big NBA news to start the second hour. 19 new All-Stars. You've got Clayton Kershaw, who hit 3,000 Ks, getting like the courtesy, we'd love to have you as an All-Star young man, tip of the cap to
he
you.
Deserved he deserved it.
It's a career achievement nod, which is perfectly fine. What are you more excited about, home run derby or the All-Star game?
It's always the home run derby. At this point, who really cares about All-Star games? Like, they're not that big of a deal. Yeah. There's nothing on, so I will watch it.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, can't wait to see the NL versus the AL. This is going to be great. Like, whatever. Who cares? But the home run derby is still going to get my attention. As far as like all the ancillary events that happen on All-Star weekend, the dunk contest, three-point contest, whatever the NFL is doing for their stuff.
Trampoline, basketball,
right.
Dodgeball.
All the bogus stuff that they do.
Moon shoe throwing.
Yeah. What's going to always get my attention and one that I will still care about is the home run derby. For whatever reason, dudes walking up to the plate and hitting the ball as far as they possibly can is always going to get me to tune in and get me excited.
See Alonzo not doing it?
What's that?
Alonzo said overnight, the news came out that he will not participate.
Oh, poor Pete. That's too bad.
He wants the 3 days off.
There are six games between now and the All-Star break for the Seattle Mariners. Barry Bonds has the record, 39 home runs in the first half. Jordan, does Cal Raleigh match, beat, or come short of that?
I think we'll come a little bit short, although, but man, he hits him in bunches. And if he goes on a run here the next six games, like he two home run games, could match it. And that's kind of what we've seen from Cal all season. So he'll go like a week or two without a bomb. But if this is the week with some bombs, yeah, he can absolutely match it. But I think he'll get just short. He'll probably hit like 37 or 38.
37-38. Big Will Betts. What say you? You putting some coin on this?
No, and I bet on the hot dog eating contest. So that tells you what I'm willing to bet on. I don't know if he does. I just want him to beat Griffey's. I think it would be...
Just get one more in the next six games.
Right. Like, yeah. I think it would be an incredibly cool story if a switching catcher ended up beating Bonds' record. And to be honest, as far as the home run goes, I think that's the only home run record that's really attainable. 70-whatever, three. That's never going to happen. You're just not going to see it, I don't think. So I would like him to get to that point. It's six games. Three of them are in Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe a little bit of home cooking. Maybe we juice the balls at MLB, and so he gets close. But at this point, I just want him to at least get one more so he can stand alone in Mariners lore.
All right. We'll switch to the NBA. When we start hour two, we do it next. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.